Okay, morning everyone. We can start today's lecture. Do you have any questions from the last lecture, from last week's slides? No? Okay. Today we have only 25 slides and the topic is quite easy, so I will try to complete it quite early, within an hour, and then I'll have to go and conduct an exam for the master's course. Okay. So then I'll need some time preparing for that exam also. Okay. So we are still in week 43. Is that clear? Can you see the slides? No? Can you help me how to do it? It will beat. Okay. Is that okay? Okay, is that fine? So, okay, that's good. But then I'm not sure if the camera is able to see me and then record me. So probably you will be seeing some only the voices and the. Anyways, so we can continue. We are still in week 43. We have been looking at processing XML data and how we have been doing it. In the last lecture, we looked at the DOM tree structure and what we can do with it. Now we will see how we can transform the XML file into different files, such as the XML files, such as the XHTML format for displaying purpose, or it could be from XML to XHTML, HTML, or from XML DOM tree to the XML file. Okay. So today's lecture is about transforming XML data using XSLT. XML is the basic language for XSLT, and XSL stands for Extensible Stylesheet Language. It's more or less same as the CSS for the HTML. Okay? But in CSS, we know that the HTML has predefined tags. And all these tags are known by the compiler and the interpreters in the browsers and in the applications which process them. So it becomes very easy for the cascading style sheet to know what is expected from the code that it contains in the HTML template. Okay. So everything in the HTML is predefined, so all these templates and tags of the HTML are predefined. So when you are writing your CSS style sheet, it knows what elements to handle, what elements to, and how to process those elements, and what elements to expect actually. Okay. But in case of XML, we said that the XML contains user-defined tags. Okay. And then your style sheet is based on your XML elements, and the browsers and the interpreters might not know that what are the meanings of those elements. So for example, we looked at one example. If we have an element table, so the compiler might not know if that table is an HTML table or if the table is a furniture table, or it could be any other table. So the compiler cannot differentiate, and it does not know how to process and display that data. That's why the W3 consortium came up with a separate styling sheet mechanism specifically designed for XML, and that is known as XSL. And the transformation from XML to any other format is performed by XSL transformation. That's why you see the T in the XSL. So it's an extensible style sheet language transformation. Okay. So it defines a syntax based around the templates and node values. Okay. Templates provide us with the matching criteria, and those templates contains XPath expressions that we have seen to process and match in the XML tree structure. Okay. And then node values are the values that we want to process. So in today's lecture, we will look at how we can transform an XML file into XHTML file. Now here we see that it's another technology for processing XML data. That means that we have already seen how to process the data using XPath, how to process the data using simple API for XML, how to process the data using document object model. And now we are looking into how to format the data using this transformation. Okay. So it's an XML application. That means that it has a parser, and all those latest parsers, browsers, they support the XML XSLT parser. So they have the built-in parser for applications to process and display the results. Okay. And XSLT defines a set of rules using which it does the matching from the XML tree structure. Okay. And you can have the XSLT applied directly on the server, so you can process XML files on the server, or you can do it on the client side. Okay. So we will see one very quick example of how to do it on the XML server, on the server. So when we are doing it on the servers, we will check how to convert from the DOM tree to an XML file. Okay. And when we are looking at the client application, then we will see how we can convert an XML file and represent it as an XHTML format. Okay. So it provides us quite many functionalities which are listed over here. So it can provide us the transformation capability. That means we can transform from one format to another format. Generation of constant text. Okay. So what do we mean by constant text? Any guesses? Constant text is something that we are displaying in the browser as a static text, okay, or the text that we are passing. It could be a string, it could be a text value, it could be a character data value. Okay. So it allows us to display constant text as we have been doing it in, let's say, HTML pages. So whatever you write in the HTML tags, table tags, display tags, title tag, okay, paragraph tag, all these tags display the value whatever you write in that. Suppression of content. You can choose which content from the XML file you want to display, and the rest you can keep as it is without displaying it. You can hide it from the output, or you can also display it by changing its format or by sorting all these returned values. So you can move the text, you can duplicate the text, and you can sort the text value that you are displaying. That means that you have an XML file, it contains certain values. Using XPath expressions, you can display those values. But if you want to display them in your browser, and if you open any of the XML file, if you have this nutrition file on the front end, and if you open it, your browser will show it as a tree structure. Okay. You can use XPath queries to return certain specific values from that XML file. But if you want to show it in a table, or if you want to show it as a formatted page, then you need to transform it. Okay. And that's what XSLT provides us to do. Okay. And the program can get more complex, so it provides more complex transformations that compute new information in terms of the existing information. So it's up to you how you want to display the information. In your XML file, you could have only calories for each of these food elements. And as we said, you can write XPath expressions to find the total calories for all the food elements which are present. So you can also do some manipulations and calculations before displaying the results. So how to use this transformation? Okay. So as I said, we can do it on the server, or we can do it on the client side. On the server, this is a code which is a PHP code, and you can see how the syntax is given and how it's written over here. So you can check that what we are trying to do here is convert the DOM tree XML structure, the one we saw in the last lectures, that in the DOM we have the nodes and everything is treated as a node. We are converting that to an XML representation. So if you have an RSS feed, or if you have a DOM tree structure for the XML file, and if you do not have the XML file, from the web you can transform it into the XML file and save it in your machines that you can use later for further usage. So here we see that we are creating a new DOM document, because we are saying that we are converting from the XML document tree to the XML file. We get the result and the pointer in the XSL doc here, and then we are loading the XSL URL. That means that this XSL is the style sheet that defines how to transform the document using this format into the XML file or the output format. And we are checking if that file is already loaded, so then we are using the XSLT processor. This is implemented in Opera from version 9 onwards, in Firefox from version 3 onwards, I guess, in Chrome from version 1, and in Internet Explorer from all the versions. So this is already built in all of these versions. So whichever browser you use, you will be able to compile and see the transformation in the format that you are interested in. And what we are doing here, we are importing the style sheet. So we are loading the style sheet. We will see how we can write the style sheet, and we will look at some of these examples. So we are loading the XML XSL, which is an XML file, and it contains the style sheet information. We are creating an XSLT processor so that it can take that file, style sheet file, and process that. And process it on the XML document. So for example, we have these node structures, and this is our DOM model. We said that this is part of our XML tree, and we can use a parser. In this case, we are using an XSLT parser, and we can provide this DOM model. Apart from that, we need to provide the style sheet method. What is the style sheet, or what are the formatting criteria that we want to transform into? So we provide an external XSL file. So it takes the XSL file and it transforms it into the output format, whatever we want it to be. In this case, we are converting it into the XML document. So that's what it is basically doing over here. So we are using the transform to XML. We are giving the document, and we are getting the formatted results as a pointer in the result XML file structure. And we can also do it in the browsers. That means that we are doing it in the client side. Now, this structure is very much similar to what you have been seeing as the prologue, the very first line in the XML file, or the very first line that you see in the HTML pages, because in the HTML pages you define the HTML tag, right? HTML element. And this is the same in case of the XSLT. So here we see that XSL basically is an XML file. So we have to tell the compiler that it's an XML, and then we are telling that it's a style sheet. So we are differentiating between a simple XML file and the style sheet XML file, and then we save it with XSL extension also. And here we are giving a reference, hreference. So hreference tells us that what kind of style sheet we want to apply to this XML document. So that means we have an XML document, we write it as it is, And in this document, we are telling them that it is associated with this styling. So if this style sheet is incorporated into XML, and if you preview this XML, you will see a formatted output, not like the tree structure or the simple values that you see in the browsers if you do not have any formatting in this. Okay. And then we are defining what the type of it. So we are saying that it's a text document which is of type XSL. Now the XSLT file structure looks like this. That's what we have seen. This is not the XML file now. This is the XSLT file. Now we are talking about this file. Okay. Now in this case, you can see that we have an XSL style sheet version 1. Currently, it's the version 1 that is quite commonly used. And then we have the namespaces. The namespace usually refers to a web page which describes all those methods and parameters to use this formatting. Okay. And the XSLT file usually contains the rules-based instructions. Okay. Rule-based means you are using some matching criteria. Okay. In this case, the matching criteria is governed by the template match keywords. Okay. So XSL template defines us that we are using a rule-based logic, and whatever we will give in the rule-based logic as the matching criteria is an XPath expression. So in this case, after the match, you see only a root sign, the front slash. And we saw that the front slash stands for the root node or the subdirectory. But since we only have the one root node here, so that means that we are matching this root node with the root node which is present in the document, in the XML file. Okay. So we define it that start processing where the root node occurs in the document and do whatever we want to do till it's the root node. Okay. And we have seen that in the XML documents, your root node is the first node and it's the last closing node. Okay. In case of this nutrition XML document, we have the first element which is the nutrition and we close it at the end. And then we have daily values and then we have food elements, quite many food elements in the XML file. Okay. So we can match on different XPath expressions what we want to transform. So this tells us that we want to apply this formatting on all of the XML documents which matches from the very first root node till it finishes. And then we have sequence constructor. Sequence constructor is whatever we want to apply this template, apply this formatting to. Okay. So in our case, it's the full XML file and we can check whatever comes in between. We can transform that as per our specified instructions. So this is a second example where we are matching the food element. That means that we are only looking for the food elements in the XML file and we are going to do something with that. So wherever this XPath expression matches with the XML document in the food, we can write some sequence and we can display only those elements in the XHTML format. So here we see an XSLT style sheet which contains rules that specify the transformation to be made. That's what we have seen until now. It matches a pattern which is a restricted XPath. Okay. We do not need to quite often give the full path because it can match the template wherever it occurs in the document. If you remember, in the XPath we write full path, something like this. Okay, then we have name of the food or whatever we want to display. In this, we can also write full expressions or depends where we are in the document or how we are trying to match. And sequence constructor specifies what output will be generated during the transformation, how we would like the output to be displayed, in which format we would like it to be displayed on the browsers. So XSLT transformation process looks something like this. We will not only look at the subset of XSLT capabilities, because there are quite many functionalities. And if you read, there are over 100 plus methods again for this XSLT. And we'll be going to use some of the most common ones, which you have to implement quite frequently, or you might come across quite frequently. But there are quite many methods which are available. You can go through the list. If you want to write complex transformations, you can make use of them. But the very basics are quite easy, and we will see some of these examples in working also right now. So XSLT capabilities that we will not be worried about is built-in template rules, because there are quite many template rules. But if you know how to write the predicate XPath expressions, you can match whatever is in your XML document. It has a sorting functions. It's quite easy. In this class, we will not see the sorting function, but there is a simple line that you can write to match the template and apply the sorting, and whatever the outputs will be, it will display as sorted values. We can do the not copying. We can have different modes for what we are trying to display. We can have named templates, and we can have imported style sheets. But we'll try to keep the things simple so you'll understand, and then you can work on it. So our simplified XSLT transformation process, in that we define a rule for the document route. The rule that we have seen consisting of template matching, that means that whatever we want to transform is matched by the template from the XSLT into the XML document. And we have an XPath expressions that governs that matching criteria. So we explicitly activate other transformation rules. So that other transformation rules comes from this XPath expressions. And then there are select functions to check which attribute value we want to display, or which node value we want to display. Until now, we have seen that how we can define what elements we want to process. But we have seen that in the DOM tree structure, or even in the XML file, we have a root node. And then we have different elements. So in order to display the values of these elements, we need some more methods in the transformation. So we explicitly activate other transformation rules, and each method is considered as a rule in this transformation. So here is the complete example. Now in this case, the very first thing that we said, that we can display the constant values as part of the formatting, as part of the output. And here you see the constant values are nothing but the text or the string that you can see. And it's the same that you write in the HTML pages. Okay. So here we see that we have a template match. So what we are doing, we have this XSLT transformation. In this transformation, we are defining that we are looking for the root node. The root node is the front slash. So our XML file contains this nutrition as the root node. So from this root node till the last node, what we are trying to do is to embed or to display the HTML page header information. So here you see that we are defining the HTML start element, the head start element. Within the head element, we are defining the title of the page. So when you run this code in your browser, in your browsers, you will see the title appearing at the top left corner. So the title is a constant content document. This is just to show you that we can display the constant strings, constant text, using this XSL transformation. And then there is a body H1 heading, P heading, and then we are closing that. So we have not done much with that except taking this XML file. And in our browsers, we apply this criteria, and we only embedded the constant information. But we can do definitely much more, and that's what we are going to see. Okay. So until now we have seen that how we can use this XSLT into the XML document, but we have not done enough. So we will see what we can do it. And in order to do it, that means that we need to process the values of this one. And we need to display those values. In order to display the values of these elements, we need to somehow be able to reach to them and extract the information. Okay. So this is the extracting document content, how we can extract the document content from this XML file. Okay. So the XSL colon value of is a method using which we can pick the values of these nodes. Okay. In order to pick the values from these nodes, or okay, we have further elements from these child nodes also, so we can pick all these values. And remember, this serving has a attribute unit. We can also pick those attribute values using this function. Okay. So this value of method allows us to extract attribute values, text node values, extract text content, whatever the food element is. So if you look at the nutrition XML file, you will see that the first food element was avocado dip. Okay. So we can pick that value and display it into the output format. If you now run the XML file as it is, that is available on your fronter, you will see that in your browsers it will give a tree-like structure. Okay. So you will have a nutrition element, you will have food elements, and if you open these food elements, you will have further serving. So you will see a tree-like directory in your browser if you open the XML file as it is without any browser. And that's what we not want. We want to have a very nice formatted web page where we can see all these informations either in a table format or in an other format, right? So we can extract the pure text content of the element and not the difference from the node value. Now we are processing the XML file. Okay, and in the XML file we said that the attribute is part of the element itself, right? Okay. If you remember, we have an attribute name and it can have an ID. Okay. So this is an element and it has an attribute. In the XML, this attribute is not treated as a separate node. This attribute is treated as a part of this XML element. Okay. But in the XML DOM tree, we have the attributes as a separate node. So you need to keep this difference in mind whenever you are working and transforming from DOM document or from XML file. Okay. And that's what the last line says over here. Okay, so now we will see one example in which we are trying to show how many food elements are there in the XML file. Okay. So here we see how we can extract the document. It's an example, and you will see one additional template matching criteria on the top, and then it's the value of. So we are trying to extract the values of a given node and displaying that value. So here we see we have the template match. That means that we are transforming using XSLT on the XML file starting from the very first root node. And when it matches the root node, we will display all that information. So the information is demo of XSL value of, so that will be the title when you run this file in your browser. Okay. And then the next heading you will see is demo of XSL value of. Again, it's the heading. So the heading you will see in your browser content, and the title you will see in the title bar of your browser, the very top bar. And then you have the passage. It's all this constant text that we are combining using this transformation into the XML file. So we are appending some extra code. And now what we are doing, we are writing a passage in which we are telling how many food elements are there. Okay. So in your browser, it will say that the document contains facts about, and then it will process this line, okay, this transformation line. And what does this transformation line is doing here? It's finding the value, okay, using the select method, that which attributes it wants to select. So whenever this method comes value of, that means we want to extract the values, but which element we want to extract. That is given by the select keyword, that select this attribute, select this attribute, or select this attribute. Okay, and which attribute then? That is given by your XPath query. So here we see we have an XPath query which tells us that find the nutrition element, go to the food element, okay, and then we are using the method that we saw last time also. We did not saw it in practice, but I told you, and I hope you trust me all, that we have this count button, count method, and it will count all those node elements, right? So now we will see it in working also. You can test it. So what it's doing, it is finding and selecting all these food elements in this XML document, and it's counting them. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, how many they are. So it will display the number here, and then it says types of food. So basically what the output will look like is the document contains facts about 10 types of food elements, if there are 10. If there are less, it will give the numbers. Okay. So that's how you can format your XML file into the XHTML format. I will show you the examples at the end. So now, as in any other programming language, we do not want to just simply show that display this. In the XPath, we said that we can use predicate logic, a condition, okay, to show a particular type of information or extract a particular type of information. And also we can iterate through different elements to show all those different values which are contained in those elements. And that's what we can also use. For that, we need to use control structures. And it provides us control structures much like the different languages, but it has its own syntax, okay, and its own way of writing it. So here we see a testing using XSL if statement, and from the if you can check that if is a conditional statement, it's a conditional check. Okay. So in this example, what we are trying to do, we are checking if the food elements are more than one, then display the plural of type. Okay. If it's exactly one or less than one, then that means we do not need to say that the document contains facts about one types of element. Okay. The sentence is then has a grammatical problem. Right? So that's what we are trying to show here. So we have just used a simple check in this case. So what we are trying to check here, if, and you check this if using a test statement. Okay. So you're testing a condition, and that condition is that if the count of the nutrition and all the food elements in that document, if it's not equals to one, then we have to use the S with the type. Okay. So it's like whenever you are writing sometimes documents, type, and sometimes you put the S in the bracket when you're not sure if it's going to be plural or singular, right? And that's what we are checking over here. Okay. So it's a very simple check, but it tells you that what you can do with these kinds of if statements and the conditional statements. Okay. And then similarly, we can use the choose statement if we have multiple conditions. Okay. If you have been working in C language, you can see the similarities with the switch statement, switch and cases. Okay. So it's the same here, but in the XML XSLT syntax. Okay. So if it's an if else if statement, okay, and you can achieve it using the choose method in this case. So what we are trying to do here, we are using a condition XSL choose, that means we are going to choose any of these, all of these three will not be displayed at the same time, but it's a loop. It will check whatever it wants to, whatever the matching criteria is matched, and then it will display that value. So here we are again providing the conditions that when test count nutrition foods equal to zero, if there do not exist a single food element, then you write the following text on the browser. And the text that is displayed here is the document only contains facts about recommended daily amounts of nutrition. So if you happen to have the nutrition XML file opened with you right now, you will see that the very first element of that nutrition element is the daily value. It's not the food elements. The first one is the daily value, and then it has all the food elements. So if it does not find any of these food elements, it's fall back and tell them that we only have this daily nutrition or daily values about this. Your second check is that when test equals to count nutrition food equals to one, if there is a one food element, then display the line in which you have only one type of food element. If you have multiple food elements, otherwise, which is the default condition, okay, in case of C language, okay, so here we have the default. Otherwise, whatever is else, you can write the following statements. Okay. And the statement that you see here is count nutrition food, and it's finding all those food elements. Whatever they are, it will display that value in your browser. Similarly, we can iterate through the nodes, okay, the looping. And that you can do using this for each keyword in this case. So we can iterate elements by using the XSL for each keyword. The XPath expressions in the select attribute specify the node we want to iterate. So let's assume that we now would like to display all the names of the food elements. That means that we have to iterate all of these food elements and display the results. And we can do the formatting at the same time. So now you see that we have an example for iterating using this for each, and we are going to iterate by matching the root element. That means that we are going to process the full XML document. Hence you see this template match front slash. So it's a rule, it's a very first rule that we have used here. And what we are doing in this case, we again have this HTML part, the body part, the title part, which is omitted from this example. So that's why you see this part left out due to the lack of the space. So you should assume that here you have the HTML body tags, right? And then what we are doing, we are using the value of and select all those food nutritions. So here you see that we are selecting the value of select count nutritions. It's the same thing that we have been doing. First we are counting how many elements are there, and then we need to display all those values. So again, what we are doing, we need to browse the food elements. So for each element of the food in the nutrition document, in the nutrition parent node, pick the value of the name. Okay, so we have the food element and it has a child which is a name, and it has a value which is the name of the food. In the nutrition file we have food names as eggs, okay, avocado dip, and we have some further examples. So we are picking this name, and from the first element, from the second element, and how many elements we are picking the names from all those elements, and we are displaying the results in the browser. Now next, what we can do, we can apply the templates also. The apply template elements applies to our template, to the current element or to a child element. So whenever we have this apply template, it will apply whatever formatting, whatever functionality we want it to achieve, it will apply on that particular element. Okay. So instead of looping through all those nodes, we can check apply certain functionality to all these food elements. That's what we can do over here, or we can define the predicate conditions in that. Okay. So here we see that we have an example apply template, and we are selecting nutrition food, and we are picking all those food elements which are low in sodium. Okay. We have seen the same example before. Now, how many elements are there? If there are 3 food elements or 4 food elements which are low in sodium, it will display all those elements. So that means we are applying a condition based rule in this case. So here we can iterate elements by using the apply template. The XPath expression in the select attribute specifies the node we want to perform. It's the same thing that we have been seeing. So it's the XPath expression that we have seen before. And here you see that we have used the reference instead of using the actual symbol over here. And the reference is less than sign over here. Okay. So less than or equal to 300. So pick all those food elements where the sodium quantity is less than or equal to 300. So the select node food in this case will be transformed as the specified in the corresponding template. Okay. Now assume that we want to list the nutrition facts about low sodium food in the items. We can do it like this. So that's the full functional code that you see over here. So we are again matching the root node. So that's our first rule based query. And then we have the header files for the HTML so that we can see some content in our browsers. Then we are applying the template and we are selecting all those food elements which are low in sodium. So all those food elements which have the sodium value less than or equal to 300, they will be displayed. And then we are closing the HTML page and the body. Okay. And we can do the same also. We have seen that the food element contains further child elements. Okay. It has serving, it has manufacturer, it has name, it has content. Okay. It has nutrition facts, it has total fats, total calories, and all those elements. So we can display all those elements also. Again, in the example, you see that we have a template matching. In this case, what we are trying to match here, we are not processing from the full root node, but we are going to the food elements here. Okay. And we are picking the food elements. Obviously, if you want to display it as a full working code in your HTML page, you need to have these header files up there. So in this example, the header files are not given. Okay. So if you execute as it is, you will not get the formatting of the HTML in your browser's output. Okay. But this is a code snippet which starts from this food element and how you can process the food elements to display its further child elements. Okay. So in this case, we see that we have the rule-based condition that match the template where exists food element in the XML file. Okay. Pick the value of, so here you see that select value of, that means we are picking and displaying the value of the node, but which that node is. We have defined it using a select. So select the name and display its value. So whatever the food name is, it will be displayed. And then you see that this is an HTML tag. Okay. And do you know what this UL stands for? Unordered list. Okay. That means that we are initiating an unordered list, and in that list, whatever the items are, they will be with the bullet points, not with the numbered. So we first display the name of the element, the food element. For example, in the first case, it will be avocado dip. And then we are displaying the manufacturer. So we are selecting the value of select MFR. MFR is the element, okay, which is a child to this food element. And then we are displaying its further attributes here. The line that you see here is emphasized. That means we are making it bold, and it's the manufacturer. So that's the HTML tag. This li is the list, which is an HTML tag. Okay. And then this is the excess cell transformation that we are applying. So we are writing an HTML tag, and then we are writing the excess cell transformation. And here you see that units is a part of serving, and units is an attribute. And if you remember, in the XPath, we can access the attributes using the at sign. Okay. So here we have the at sign with the, okay, here you see this at sign with the units. So wherever you see this at sign, that means that it's an attribute. Okay. So in the exams, you could be bombarded with quite many elements names, and some of them might contain attributes, or you might have an XML file, okay, with the attributes, and you might need to be asked to generate or tell what are the elements and what are their attributes. So probably you might have an XML file that contains at signs or a structure or a queries. So you might be asked to generate one representation from the other representation, or vice versa. But then you need to know what this at represents. Okay. So quite often students make very silly mistakes sometimes in the exams. So just be careful with those things. Okay. So we will see these examples in the browsers. Okay. So we can also set the attribute values. Now here we have seen that this XSLT is the transformation. That means it's not manipulating the XML file. Whatever your XML file is, that will stay as it is. Okay. But only your output will be formatted in the format that you want it to be. Okay. That means that we can set attribute values, but only to the output file. We cannot have the attribute value sets to this XML conditions. So it's an example. It's not quite commonly used, and you might not be using it quite often, but still it's good to see and to check how it works. Okay. So here we see what we are doing. Again, we have unordered lists, and we have an XSL iteration. That means for each food element, here you see nutrition, that food, display in a list-wise structure. Okay, so that's why we have li. And what we are trying to do, we are defining an attribute name id. So whatever the food elements are, they will be having an id, okay, in their name. And then how this id will be generated? So the id will be generated by concatenating the string food underscore and whatever position that node is. Okay. So if that node is at first position, it will get food underscore one as the ID of that attribute. If it's position two, it becomes food underscore two as its ID. That means that we are some sort of generating a sequential number. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with a prefix food underscore. And we are generating that name food underscore 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and assigning it to the attribute, okay, to the element as its ID. So in this case, the element is name. So we have a food. This food has a name, and we have quite many foods for each of these elements. So what we are doing, we are picking first food element. We are getting its name, and we are assigning it an attribute which is ID that looks something like this. Okay. So that's what it is doing over here. Now, just for you to refresh up your minds, you already have an assignment, an exercise that you might have been working on. Okay. And in that assignment, you have to create and write XPath expressions. Okay. And in order to do that, you need to have an XML file. Okay. So in part two of your obligatory 5 assignment, you have an XML that you will generate from the first part. Okay. And in that XML, you can display the results into a nice formatting using this XSLT. So you can practice it in your home and try to see it. How you can show your converted XML file, okay, and display it in your browsers, not as this tree structure, but as a proper HTML file with tables or with nice formatting. Okay. So just to sum up what we have seen in these 2 weeks, we have seen that we have XPaths for addressing nodes in the XML tree. That means that whenever we want to traverse from one node to another node, we can do it by writing the XPath expressions, which look something like this. So XPath is the basis for all these kinds of traversing in the DOM tree, in the transformation of XSLT, or simply when you are writing expressions to display the content directly from the XML tree, XML file, you need to rely on the XPath. Okay. So from your exam point of view, try to work on many different queries for the XPath. Okay. And then we have seen there are different parsing tools and APIs. So here we have the simple API for XML, for simple document parsing. It provides us a sequential file. And then we have the DOM, document object model, which represents everything as a node in the document. Even the attributes and the text is considered as a separate node in this. So you need to keep the difference of a DOM XML tree and the simple XML tree. Okay. And then we have seen that in this today's lecture that XSLT for declarative transformation, that how we can transform from one format into another format. The resources are already there. I hope the links should be clickable now, because the driver I have in my laptop does not recognize the hyperlinks. So I had to ask my colleague to every time convert the PDF file for me. So I hope that the PDF file that you have on front end now has the clickable hyperlinks. Okay. So now we can look at some of these examples. Let me see if I can open the XMap. Just attrition. Okay, so here you see this nutrition.xml file. Now in this case you are seeing that we have an XML, okay, that tells us that it's an XML file, and we have defined the version. In this case we have not defined any namespaces. Usually you do not see this statement in the XML file. This lines actually tells us that we have a style sheet that is used for this XML file. And this is the same XML file that you have on your Fronter. It's the nutrition.xml file. The only thing that I've added in this XML file is this line that you can see over here. Okay. And here what we are doing is we are defining that we are trying to use an XML style sheet, a formatting rule of type text and XSL, and then we are loading that file. And I have this file saved in my directory, which is the XSL file. And all those examples that we have seen now in this slides are from this XSL file. Okay, are all of these XSL files. So we can check those, the structure of those XSL files also. Okay. Yeah, so here you see this nutrition.xsl file. In this case, what we are trying to do here, see the same thing. This is the prologue, which is the first statement that defines what this file is. So here we see that it's an XSL file, but since XSL is a style sheet of XML, so we should always start it with the XML, even though it has an extension XSL, not the XML. But your compiler then can check that it's a part of the XML file and it's in style sheet for the XML file. Okay, and we need to define this namespace here. It's sort of a must, because if you do not define these namespaces, your browser will not be able to pick the keywords which are used in the transformation file. For example, the keywords template. It's this template is a method, or it's a keyword part of this XSL, and this is defined in this namespace over here. Okay, but you do not need to worry about this. That's what we will see, what we have been doing. So here we see that we are starting a template match and looking for all those nodes which are the root nodes in the XML file. And what we are doing, we are embedding this HTML header information. So we have the HTML, start of the HTML. That means in the browsers, when we run this file, it will display as an XHTML document. And here we see that we have a heading in which we are showing that it's nutrition and then food and manufacturer. So it's just the H2 level heading. Next, we are creating the table. Now here you see that it's a table, and your XML parser can get confused whether it's an HTML table or a user specified table or a furniture. Okay. But in this case, we are using an HTML table because it can check the attributes that are used over here, and it's part of this HTML body over here. Okay. Next, what we are doing, we are just doing some formatting over here, how our results should look like. Okay. This is the statement that is performing the transformation. So what we are doing, we are iterating through all those food elements. Okay. And that means we are picking the food elements which are going to that element using this XPath expression. So the XPath is nutrition /food. Okay. And then in that we are picking the child elements of food, and we are picking the name and the manufacturer. Okay. And here this for each ends. So that means we are traversing through all those food elements, and we are picking its manufacturer and its name, and we are displaying it in the HTML page. And we have already done the heading information. It's the constant text that we are displaying. So all this is the constant text, and that is the transformation that we have applied here. And this is the rule condition that what we are looking for and when we are starting in the document. Okay. So we can check and execute this, but first this is the, I need to change the name here. So this is the nutrition file as it is over here. So I give the XSL file which I would like to format the XML document as, and then I can check if localhost is working. Yes, I put it in the text and then have this nutrition. Okay, so here you see that you have all these elements displayed here, but that's not correct, right? Yeah, like this. Okay, so here we see that we have all those elements displayed as it is before without having any formatting. But we see that XML is only used to separate the data from your processing. Okay. So we have an XML. Now we might not want to display the XML as it is, because if you want to display, it will show as a tree structure, which we do not want. Okay. If you want to make it a public, and if you want to have some applications which want to display the reports in a nice formatting, so the reports need to show the format that is apprehensible by the users and the students. Okay. So here we see that we have this output, which is the H2 heading in that case. And then we created a table, HTML table. In that table, we created two headings, subheadings, name and the manufacturer. And all this information we picked up from the XML file. Okay. That means we omitted the rest of the information. We did not pick the calories, the fats, the sodium, the other units. We picked what we are interested in. Okay. So this is an other example. This is the first example that we saw in the slides, and it's about the constant text. Now you can see very well that what we are doing in this style sheet. Okay. We are just using a rule-based matching criteria, and we have not done much except displaying the simple HTML information. Okay. So if I change this with the style sheet now I want to use, which is the one. Okay. And if I hopefully refresh this file, it shows only the header information that we display. So this is the constant text. That means that when you are formatting your XML, you can use all the HTML tags and all the HTML functionalities. Okay. In this one, we did not process any of these XML files. We did not process any values from this one, but we only added the HTML part to this example. And next we have another example. So in this case, what we are doing here, we are again using this rule-based matching criteria. Then we have the header information. Now the title is what will be displayed in your browser title page. Okay, so it's just a text, a constant text, the demo of XSL. So we are in this styling sheet looking at how we can display the values of by using the select. And in this case, we are saying that the document contains facts about, and it's the same condition. How many food elements are there, right? So this is nutrition 2, and I can change my XML and give the reference to the second styling. So you see that I'm not changing my XML file. The XML file stays as it is. And now I can very easily add more values, more food elements to this XML file without destroying my XSL style sheet or the code that I've written. So now you can see that everything becomes independent of each other. So I can have even more food elements added into the XML file, but I will not need to change the code that I've written in the XSLT transformation. So that's the advantage that you see now of using the XML. So here I have the reference to the Nutrition 2 styling sheet, and if I refresh it, okay, so here you see that the demo of XSL, and here you see in the title also. So this is the title that appears here also. Okay, and that's the heading too that we have used here, demo of XSL. So this is just to show you that we are looking at the example of this. And now the output that you see here is the document contains facts about 10 types of foods. Okay, so that means what we have done here, we have counted the values of the food elements from this XML tree using the count method. And in the output, it shows you the total output values. Let me see if I have some other examples. Yes, so here we have another one in which we are using for each. It's the same from the slides that we have seen. And it's checking select value counter nutrition food, types of food, and then it's displaying the names of those food elements also. So let me rename the file again here. It's going to be 3. And then I can hit the refresh button and hopefully we see yes. So now we are not only counting how many food elements are there, but we are also displaying the names of all those food elements, right? And here you see that, okay, we see there are 10 food elements, but we will have to count each of them because it's an unordered list, right? So we can change that into an ordered list. And now you see you have all these numbers. So this unordered list and ordered list is just an HTML tag. And your XML and XSLT and the parsers, they recognize all these HTML tags. Okay. And in addition, you can do different things with this HTML. I have a couple of more examples. We can very quickly go through it, what it's doing. So, okay, here we have the apply template. So it will hopefully find all those food elements which are low in sodium. This is file number 4. Let me quickly rename it here. Okay. Yeah, so in this case, we have not done any formatting. We did not use any tables, so that's why you see this formatting appearing as it is. Okay, but in this case, you still see that the output is given for all those food elements, but everything is displayed because we did not write enough code to do the formatting. We only displayed all those food elements which are low in sodium. Okay, and we applied the template. But you can format it. In this case, you see there is no formatting done here. Okay, but we only display the results. So that's how you can use the XSLT to transform the XML document into an XHTML page. Okay. So it's an HTML page, but we have been using this styling sheet, which is for the XML. That's why it's an XHTML page, right? Do you have any questions? Okay, that's good. So I hope you have understood whatever is explained here. You have some of these examples already on the fronter. If you have any queries or questions, feel free to drop by or send an email. Usually I'm very quick in responding to emails, but due to the workload, you can sometimes expect a delay of one day, right? Okay. Okay, thank you.